I feel like conducting a band after that one. It's our birthday. It's right, Independence Day. We're going to come back in a moment with your calls and Judge Jim Gray in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Judge Jim Gray with us. We will take your calls as well. As I mentioned, the judge's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It is judgejimgray.com. This musical sounds like fun, Judge.
It's exciting. It's exciting, George. And, you know, I know there's this new music, Hamilton, out, and we have no rap numbers in mind, but I think it's timely, and it's really important that people, again, respect this greatest of all documents inspired by man, the Constitution of the United States of America. It served us well.
From start to finish, how long does it run?
It's regular, two acts, about an hour and a half.
Oh, that's not bad. That's pretty fast-paced.
Well, we get our host is Benjamin Franklin, and we have a lot of fun in it. It ends with George Washington and Ben Franklin coming out, talking with the audience. Wow, they've harnessed candle power, you know, that sort of thing. And
that's cool.
And you really wear clothes like that? They're looking at some women, and don't tell Martha, says George. But then we end up saying, you know, we knew you'd come along sometime, 200 or so years later. Now you are we the people. We pass this on to you. Carry it forward, carry it on, protect and defend it by keeping it strong, because you are the we. And it's just a great way to end, and I'm proud of it.
Are the two of them, George and Ben, are they in shock at the way the country is today when they
We don't
up?
Get into that, but
okay.
They sure would be.
Yeah,
I am, and
would
they would be too. They'd be very upset with us.
They would be. They'd say, what did they do to the Constitution?
Yeah, there's the drug exception to the Constitution, the terrorism exception, and there should be not exceptions. It's not good. People that came here as immigrants really appreciate our country in a lot of ways a lot more than we do, and they're the ones that look at alarm. Our government is now going more toward the governments that they fled, you know, the Russias and the North Koreas and Chinas and the rest. It's something to be deeply concerned about, and shame on us.
Let's take some calls. Let's go to John in Alaska to get things started. Go ahead, John. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. Go ahead, John.
Hey there.
Yeah, can you hear me? John?
Hello.
Hello, John.
John, this is Jim Gray. I can hear you. Go ahead. What's up?
Hello.
Well, we don't have John. Let's try Mike in North Carolina. Mike, go ahead.
Hello, George. Good morning.
Good
morning, George.
You too, Mike. I hope you can hear us well.
Well, I can hear you well. Do you know which? I'm actually Mike in Livermore.
Yes, I know. I know the voice. Did you finally move?
No, actually, my daughter's renewing her wedding vows.
Oh, that's
one year
great.
Later,
well, have
I
a great time.
Last year, so this time, got a bunch of family came out. I came out with my 82-year-old mother. And we got a bunch of family, so we're going to do it right.
Super. Okay, go ahead, Mike. You're on with the judge.
Oh, thank you, George. Hey, you know, I don't label myself with any political party. I'm probably closest, if anybody asks. I say I'm kind of libertarian, but I'm registered independent. I didn't vote for Gary Johnson this year, but, you know, and basically because I went with my heart. My main question is, if Gary Johnson were to have gotten in there, two-part actual question. One is, how do you think he would be treated by the media? Would it be any different than Donald Trump's being treated? Because he's an outsider, and we all know where the media is controlled from. And number two, what would his choices be in his cabinet, in his staff members? The biggest problem with Donald Trump that I see is he's surrounded himself with people that are globalists and CFR members. I mean, there's too many of them in there, and we all know they've been controlling the whole show for how long it's been, you know, since they've been in effect and their agenda's gone. So where would the Libertarian Party do it different, or would they?
Good, Mike. Very, very decent and good questions. First of all, I think he'd be treated well by the media. He was treated well when he was governor of New Mexico. He basically has a fault, and that is he tells the truth, and he's anxious to get the right things done. And he was treated extremely well by the media in New Mexico because they realized that he's just a good person. I said during the campaign that he wasn't the best candidate, but he'd always be the best president because he's not particularly political. As far as whom he would have appointed, you understand that libertarians, of course, are classic liberals and also classic conservatives. So we would have put in a coalition government. Yes, of course, independents, libertarians, but also Republicans and Democrats based on merit. And then, you know, we'd be able, when we'd have some political problems, hey, you're with this party or that party, go and talk to your colleagues, get them on board. We'll give credit for anybody that supports good ideas. It would have been refreshing. It would have been a revolution, and it would have been a coalition government getting away from this polarization that's just throttling us today. And as far as extra on the media, I've never known Gary Johnson to tweet, so he wouldn't be in that trouble.
By the way, the guy who created the little 20-second video of Donald Trump beating up a person as a wrestler, where they captioned CNN over the guy's face, the guy who made the video today apologized for it.
Yeah, I should hope so. We've got to get back to important things instead of what Donald Trump ate for dinner or something.
I know. See, that's the downside of social networking. Too much information.
Well, and that's true. And of course, you know, as a judge, I lived in a fishbowl for 25 years, and you just realize it. And I wish that Donald Trump would start to realize it more and knock this stuff off.
He's got the potential of doing some great things.
His mind, his head's in the right place. He wants to do the right thing. He's not beholden to anybody or any particular thought. He just needs to get on with being president. He has appointed some really good people. You know, you earlier mentioned Tillerson, I think McMaster. You know, he's appointed some good people, and not very many of them. He's a little slow in getting those things done. By the way, my resume is out there with him. But you know, let's just let him. He was elected president of the United States. Mike, I didn't vote for him either. I did vote for Governor Gary Johnson, but he is our president, and he has a lot of good ideas. So let's get on to the substance and forget a lot of this fluff.
We are going to invite him, Donald Trump, to be on the program. And
good.
I hope the president accepts and spends a couple hours with us, takes phone calls. We will obviously be very respectful. People who aren't will get dumped. Because he is our president, but I would love for him to make himself
available. Tell him I recommend that he accept your offer.
Yep, I will do that. Let's go to Scott in Massachusetts. Welcome to the show, Scott. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Noori, Mr. Judge Gray. I got to be honest with you. I have faith in President Trump. I think, like you said, he's trying to do the right thing. But what disturbs me terribly is the same cast of sorry characters that are really trying to sabotage, destroy his administration. And those people are Charles Schumer and Adam Schiff and Dianne Feinstein and Bernie Sanders and Michael Bloomberg from Bloomberg News. And I find George Soros extremely ominous. I find them ominous because they want to make America they have their own agenda to make America a communist nation. And as far as I'm concerned, they are Jewish communists that want to drag America down, and Trump's administration is going to go down the tubes because of this, and be derailed, and he won't be able to achieve the agenda that he was elected for, you know, bring millions of jobs to America and put the Mexican wall up and repair our infrastructure. And I'm very worried about it.
All right, let's get your reaction. However, I am going to say that using the phrase Jewish communists was uncalled for. You didn't need to say that at all. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I agree. The name calling just is counterproductive. You know, Scott, politics does bad things to people. Adam Schiff now, in my view, is running for president, so his voice is everywhere, and he's just trying to appeal to more progressive voters. Otherwise, you know, you mentioned some people, Bernie Sanders. I admire him. I don't agree with almost any of his politics, but people have differences of opinion. We're all imprisoned by our backgrounds. I'm not a billionaire. I don't see things the same way Donald Trump does. I don't see the same way that Bernie Sanders does. But let's just go back to the Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan type, where you can sit and you can talk with each other, share a glass of wine or whatever, and just be collegial. And understand that not everyone's going to agree. You heard George Nuri say that at the beginning of this program. But you know, we'll have disagreements. But by the way, you can't disagree with something unless you can explain what it is. So let's understand each other's points of view better, and then we'll work out a compromise. Compromise is not a bad thing. It's a good thing, and let's come back to it. But when it comes down to it, Scott, it's our government, like I tried to say earlier, and if it's not working, it's our responsibility to make it better. And we're the voters, and politicians are really, really good at one thing, and that's following the voters. So we need to take more of a hand, and things will be better.
And Jim, what's so amazing, too, is so many people in foreign countries still want to move here, still want to come to the United States, still want to be citizens.
Oh, I mean, you look at Iran. I mean, most of the Iranian people love the United States.
That's true.
Their government is at sea. But no, people still love America. They're not all that wild about our government. But we're still the best game in town, George, and I'm proud to be an American.
Me too. Me too. And what a great birthday for America again today, because there are a lot of dedicated, hardworking American people out there who deserve to have a great country again.
Let me ask you a question, and our listeners, how many of you, if you could, would change places with Henry VIII? You know, obviously the top dog of the 16th century, but he had undiagnosed gout. That was no fun and uncomfortable. You're going to travel, you know, he lived in a drafty palace. He's going to travel maybe 20 miles a day in a bouncing coach, and he died at the age of 55. You know, all of our lives here.
And didn't he behead his wives? I don't think I'd want to be in his position.
Well, who'd want to have six wives anyway? Let's start with that. But you know, in fact, right this minute, my son is doing ministry work in Cambodia, and he responded to us, you know, there's lots of poverty in Cambodia, but everybody has a cell phone and everybody has a television. So I guess you define poverty different. Our lives are better. Everyone listening to this has a better life than Henry VIII did, and maybe it's time to appreciate it.
Indeed. Next up, let's go to Joe in Long Island. Welcome to the show. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jim, Dennis Rodman was actually the most popular person in the world in mainland China at one point, so he might have some clout. But my question would be...
Well, rebounded better, anyway.
As artificial intelligence and hacking becomes more of an issue... Are the courts going to be able to handle this? You know, cases might go all the way to the Supreme Court, or is this just going to be mass confusion?
I'm proud of our judicial institutions. I know numbers of federal judges. They're not wimps. They take things seriously. Some of them wish they'd read the Constitution more often. But I think Neil Gorsuch is going to be a fine member of the United States Supreme Court. And I admire numbers of them. So I'm positive about our judicial institutions.
Joe, I am too.
I think you should be too.
I'm hopeful for this country. I think in the long run we're going to work things out and get things straightened out. I'm concerned about Korea, and I think we need to get this done. And we need to get this done as a world, not by ourselves, because if we're by ourselves, it could bite us.
True enough. And we've gotten away from that. The United States has dictated a lot of stuff, that's not the way the world should operate.
No. I mean, look at Afghanistan and Iraq. We're still stuck there.
Well, we made mistakes. The biggest mistake of my lifetime, in my opinion, was going into Iraq without the full involvement of the world. And I still don't think that George Bush's administration, W. Bush's, knew the difference between Shia and a Sunni.
No, I don't think so either.
It's just a disaster.
Fatal mistake.
Afghanistan, we had every right to go into Afghanistan, find Osama bin Laden and those folks. Should have taken us 60, 90, maybe 120 days, bring them to justice, and then get out.
Well, in what we're beginning to hear now, Jim, is that the bin Laden may not have been the trump card here, not to use that as a word, but he may not have been the steering point of 9/11. He, you know, knew about it, may have financed it, but there appears to be some others that were involved in this horrible act. It might not have been just Afghan. The Afghanis and the Taliban protected bin Laden, but it may have been a bigger picture. I think the Saudis might have had a lot to do with it.
Well, they were those pilots or those people in 9/11 were pretty much all from Saudi Arabia. There's again, it brings me back to this classified information stuff. Just get it out there. Whatever it is, wherever it lands, let the facts be what they are. But the government should not be concealing this information.
First-time caller, Teresa in the state of Maine. Hi, Teresa. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm a little nervous, so bear with me.
Ah, you're fine.
Earlier, you were talking about the drug, the problem that we're having and all of that kind of stuff. I have been in recovery for 2 years. From pain medicine. And I didn't ask to become addicted to the pain medicine. It seemed like, the more I went in, the more they were like, this is what you need. 5 back surgeries later, I couldn't, stop taking it. And when you've got doctors that are triple booking patients, every 15 minutes, I don't think drug addiction discriminates. You could be a lawyer, you could be a police officer.
You could be anybody. You're absolutely
exactly.
Right.
And you factor shame and then the stigma into it. Where do you start, And your approach, I think, is so refreshing because it's level-headed and it makes sense to do that. But it feels like, where do you start to try to control it?
Have you been able to wean yourself off these or at least minimize it?
Absolutely.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. It's a very proud moment in my life.
Good for you. Jim, let's talk a little bit about these opioids.
Congratulations on this. And you need to know that you're not alone. You're absolutely right. Some of these, they're personalities that are more addictive. My daughter had got migraine headaches and evolved into various illegal and other drugs. She spent some time in the criminal justice system. It really can happen. It should not be a crime, Teresa. Hold doctors accountable. Another underknown fact in our country is that today there are tens of thousands of people in our country in unnecessary pain. And why? Because the medical doctors are so intimidated by the DEA that they will not prescribe enough pain medication to keep them out of pain, particularly at the end of life. So, there's so many ramifications. The bottom line is, Teresa, hold people accountable for what they do, but not what they put into their bodies. And get. We have experienced a great victory with regard to some mind-altering and sometimes addicting drugs, namely tobacco. We have decreased the number of people smoking tobacco in our country rather substantially, not by making it illegal, but by putting honest information into the marketplace and holding people accountable and changing social mores. And that's what we should be doing all the way around. But to put people like you that stumbled into these addictions, into jail or into fear of the criminal justice system is inhumane. And simply flat out wrong. So, Teresa, thanks for your call. You did wonderfully well. Congratulations, and I fully agree with you.
And Jim, for a lot of people who can't take these prescription pain pills, medicinal marijuana has worked dramatic things for these people.
Well, George, let me tell you, do you know who the original sponsors were of the so-called Partnership for a Drug-Free America?
I do not.
It was the alcohol industry and the tobacco industry, drug-free indeed. And you know who the major supporters are today? It's the pharmaceutical industry. They don't want the competition from marijuana. And I've never smoked marijuana in my life, but I'm absolutely convinced that CBD oil, for example, which has no mind-altering properties whatsoever, but is a part of cannabis, is going to be a medical revolution in our country.
Well, you watch, though, Jim. You watch that some of those pharmaceutical companies will own marijuana farms. Guaranteed. We'll be back. And welcome back. Our final segment with Judge Jim Gray and your phone calls here on Coast to Coast. Jim, how do you look at the next election coming up, 2020? The president is already starting his reelection fund campaign. What do you think is going to happen on the Democratic side and the Libertarians? Will Gary Johnson run again?
No, I don't think Gary will run again, but certainly it's going to be an interesting time. And it was very discouraging to see people were starting to run immediately right after the last election. But George, I know I'm going to do something that guests are not supposed to do, but you're my host, but I'm going to take issue with one thing you have said while we were on the break.
Sure.
And that is, you know, you say that you keep your enemies closer. George Nuri, you don't have any enemies. You know, you are in the informational business. People will respect you, and if there are people that feel that they're your enemy, that's their problem. But knock that off. You don't have any enemies on this show.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Don't forget, if I'm ever before you and you're a judge, go a little lenient on
you. You don't want to be before me.
We get the max from you, right?
Yeah, you get a growl or two.
I'll be sitting next to your wife going, but he is such a great judge, even though he gave me 50 years.
Well, I'm in the responsibility business, and we all should be.
Final calls, Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana, on the wild card line. Hello there, Corny.
All right there, Georgie. Hey, Judge Gray, how you are there, man?
Life is good, Cornelius. Life is really good.
Well, I'm glad your life is good. George knows me. I was a 239 military police officer. I used to work for the federal government at Oakdale, where we had the riot at a few years ago with the Cubans. But I was set up in something, and George knows I'm trying to get a presidential pardon. But see, the key to things are, Judge, some people get a raw deal and some people get the real deal. I'm a Trump supporter. I've had screws put in my tires, had death threats, and I'm just going to keep on supporting Trump. I'm glad he's running. I hope he runs in 2020. But all this stuff, attacking his family and all like that, I know y'all don't like the tweets and stuff like that. But, people get tired of being pushed around, Judge. If you got pushed around, if somebody tried to attack your family, or George, the same thing, or Tommy, if somebody tried to attack you, George, I know you defend yourself, you conceal carry. That's why I tell you, get ready to get your God, guns of gold, Bible, bullets, and beans. And
yep.
I know, Judge, you don't sense we're in the end times, but we really are, if you read the Bible. And this poor country, we were a Christian country. That doesn't mean we don't accept Muslims or Hindus or anything like that. But we've turned against God when the judges, and I don't mean you, Judge, took prayer out of school and said abortion was okay. These are federal judges now that said all this stuff. It was wrong. It went against God.
Cornelius, you're right to stand up for yourself, and you're right to take an active role with regard to our government, so you're doing exactly what you should be doing. And my goodness, it's out of bounds we already heard George Nori take someone at issue when they used a term that they just shouldn't use. It's not something that's a part of the United States. Putting screws in your tires or whatever else, totally out of bounds. And even more than that, other people should stand up, even if they don't support Trump or whatever, and I support him in some things and not in others, like I would expect you would. But, you know, if you see something wrong in our society, it's our obligation as citizens to stand up and make the system work and to stand up for the people that are being downtrodden or having screws put in their tires, regardless of the politics, stand up and say, that's just not who we are, that's not what we do. And we're getting away from that. And, it's kind of the idea that I won't agree with what you say, but I'll stand up and absolutely believe that you have a right to say it. We need to get back to that, and you are, and congratulations for that. And I think that others should learn that lesson.
Judge, as you look down the road, are we going to win out in the long run? Will the people, the good people, win out?
It's a constant fight.
It is.
You know, it's something. Ben Franklin again says, well, you know, it's a republic if you can keep it. And Ronald Reagan kind of said the same thing, that you have to keep defending liberty and our way of life at every level. So, yes, we're a resilient people. We're a great people. We're the government's playing on our fears, like with the terrorism stuff. I don't mean not to take it seriously. But, yes, we are the best people, and we're going to continue to be such.
Do you remember that horrible color scheme during 9/11 when that happened? They would say, you know, condition yellow, condition this. Oh, it was horrible.
Of course. And do you think we're ever going to get back to condition green? You think there's ever a politician
No.
that would say, don't worry anymore, we're not going to do this? You know, that's part of the scare tactics, and let's not fall for it.
Well, Lynn, let me tell you what concerns me the most. If we eradicated all terrorism, all terrorism. Let's just say the terrorists say, we're going to stop doing this. We're going to stop killing people. We're going to work things out with everybody. Let's assume we had that kind of a world where we did that. I think the special interest groups would create terrorism to keep us at edge.
You're right. The people do that in order to cater to their own private interests.
Yep.
And that's just the nature of people. That's the nature of power. It's a nature of kings. It's a nature of dictators. And it's also the nature of a bureaucracy. Bureaucracy is really good at one thing, and that is increasing the size, the power, the cost of bureaucracy. So that's what the founders, again, were terribly against. Thomas Jefferson said it, you know, every generation we need to have a bloody revolution to keep the special interests at bay. Well, thankfully, because of Thomas Jefferson, he wasn't there, but Thomas Jefferson's Constitution, he's given us the power to have that revolution without it being bloody. But it's a constant vigil that we need to, again, pick up the reins on.
Let's go to Paul, driving in Michigan on our wild card line. Paul, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, George, how are you?
Thank you, Paul. Good. Happy Independence Day to you.
Listen, sir, I'm Canadian. Happy Independence to you and Canada Day just the other day.
That's right.
I'll tell you one thing, George. I drive for a living in a van. I'm a long-distance courier, and every night when I'm on the road, I listen to you.
Well, thank you.
You're the only voice in all the media that tries to tell the truth, which I really, really like.
Thank you.
Anyway, what I was going to say with the gentleman who's the judge, if you look at the world, Canada, Australia, European countries, industrialized Western nations, one fundamental right that we should all have is free medication. Not free medication, but free Medicare. In the States, predominantly, I always come to the States for work. Beautiful country. People are the same like everywhere else in the world. There's good people, bad people. And the thing is one thing that the Europeans have done, because in Canada we have problems with our health care, with long waiting time, is they've done, they have a two-tier system, which is private and controlled by the government. And, you know, I think it would alleviate a lot of problems in the States if they had, say, a flat tax, 3%, whatever. If you look at the medication in Canada and Europe, a pill costs 50 cents. Here in the States, I talk to people, and they're paying the same pill, like $2 an hour.
Yeah, it's amazing. The difference is incredible.
You know, and it's sad because I come down to the States. I consider myself a humanist, you know, and I try not to judge people. And it's very sad because I've met people here in the States. They're hurt, you know, and they won't even go see a doctor because their premiums go up. And it's ridiculous, you know, it's totally unnecessary. And another point I wanted to talk about is Korea. Unfortunately, you know, war is a business. You know, big corporations make a killing off you know, literally off of war. And, you know, that old saying, soldiers are the pawns for the rich man's game. It's so true. You know, it's happened through history, even in Canada and here in the States. It seems to be a lot of the soldiers are always from areas where there's no jobs, you know, and they get into it, you know, to make a living. And there are positives. Points about the military, you know, it's discipline, it's brothers, you know, that brotherly love that you have for the other person around you. But you know, war is a business, you know. And if you look, if you look at the United Nations Security Council, it's I think it's the United States, Russia, France, China, England. They're the biggest arms manufacturers in the world, and they're the ones with the veto power. So another thing I wanted to say is that have somebody from South Korea on the show, you know, have somebody from Iraq to always give a different perspective, you know. That's all I have to say.
Absolutely. Well said.
Well, Paul, you covered a lot of ground on that one, but be careful in your driving, too. And Michigan's a beautiful place. By the way, yes, happy birthday to Canada. That was July 1st. But, you know, as far as your healthcare issue, I think that you said two very important things. We want people to have healthcare, of course, but in Canada, a lot of Canadians come to the United States because, like you said, they can't get this various care on a timely basis. The reason is because you've got the government involved in it. I think if you'll give some consideration to having the vouchers to use for people that can't take care of their own health care needs, use in the private sector, bring private enterprise back to the medical profession. Private enterprise has done wonderfully well for reasonably priced cell phones and computers and automobiles, and they'll do the same thing back in medicine. So go more with the vouchers to use on the private system, just like you said with the flat tax. Finally, if I'm trying to cover it all, government is money, like we said before. War is a business, you're right. But you know, I was in the military. You know, remember the saying, old soldiers never die, young ones do. So we need civilian control over the military and the rest, but those people that are actually in the trenches deserve our utmost respect.
Time for a few more calls with the judge. Let's go to Daniel in Fresno, California, west of the Rockies. Daniel, go ahead.
Good evening.
Hi.
Or morning, as the case may be by now.
That's right.
My ears turned into a soggy lump of cauliflower, but I know you're getting close to the end, and I appreciate your time, Judge Gray. My purpose in calling was to ask you, and George for that matter, maybe one or the other would know, what is the penalty for violating your constitutional oath of office?
Daniel, regretfully, in many ways, there is no sanction. Of course, you can interpret things differently. But when I would ask people to raise their right hand, I'd swear them into various offices, like with the Bar Association or whatever, and you swear to uphold and defend the Constitution of the State of California and the United States, then I'd make them keep their hand up and say, and also promise me that you'll read it, which would get some chuckles, but there's some method behind it. People don't read the Constitution enough. And we do have a Ninth Amendment and Tenth Amendment that says, my goodness, if power is not delegated expressly by the Constitution to the federal government, it stays with whom? With the states and with the people. And you know, that is not read today, and it should be. So there should be sanctions. But when it comes down to it, it's up to you, Daniel, and it's up to me to cause this to happen. It's our government. By the way, when I was in the Navy at the Lemoore Naval Air Station, I took my kids to the Fresno Zoo, and we were talking about zoos earlier in this program. I hope the Fresno Zoo is as nice now as it was before.
It used to be a classic zoo, wasn't it?
Good stuff.
Ever been to St. Louis, Judge?
No, well, I've been to St. Louis. I've not been to the zoo.
Great zoo there, too.
The Colorado Springs Zoo, and you can feed the giraffes. They have the longest tongues you've ever seen.
Bragan in Wisconsin's with us. Bragan, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much, George. I won't give you too many accolades because great hosts don't really need them, but your support staff is really awesome.
They are the best.
And so for Judge Gray, I've been a fan of yours over the years, and I've watched a bunch of your YouTube videos. I have two questions. One would be, being a constitutionalist, where do you find yourself dealing with, I was on film with Oliver Stone regarding Operation Mockingbird and the collusion between government and mainstream media.
Oh,
and then
cool.
Number two, what would you think would be a valid method for which we could actually break the two-party system, the false left-right paradigm?
Well, thank you, Reagan, for your kind words. I'm not familiar with Operation Mockingbird, so I'm not able to answer your question. As far as...
two-party system?
The what? The two-party system. I think that the major hope is our lawsuit to embarrass or push the so-called Commission on Presidential Debates to allow other parties to participate. It will be a revolution to get more information into the marketplace. And it's hard to get on the ballot in one state in a presidential election. If you're on in enough technically to win the presidency. You're a major party. Your voice should be heard. And that is, Reagan, exactly what needs to happen. And we're pulling for you. We're doing it as well as we can.
And by the way, Operation Mockingbird was an apparent large-scale program of the Central Intelligence Agency, began in the early 50s, and attempted to manipulate the news media for propaganda purposes. It funded, allegedly, student cultural organizations, magazines as front organizations. And according to a writer, Deborah Davis, Mockingbird recruited leading American journalists back in the 50s into this propaganda network to create these front groups.
That representation, George, I can tell you in capital letters that it's totally out of bounds, totally reprehensible. Shame
if that happened. Judge, thank you, my friend. Stay in touch with us. Judge Jim Gray up next. Let's take a walk on the paranormal side.